All right, let's go ahead and begin. The title of the message is The Angel's Christmas. The Angel's Christmas. Let me read Luke 1, 19 through 22. Luke chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. And I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these great tidings, glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Let's pray. Father, we love thee today. Thou art he who has given us thy Son. Thou art he who has drawn us to thyself through him. And it's his name that we lift up and exalt today. We come to thee in his name, and we ask that you have your way in this service. We pray in his name again. Amen. I think one of the important things about Christmas is the message that God gave to Zacharias and to Mary. Certainly, the angel's words to Mary were important to her. In those days, a young girl of 16 or 17 was considered a woman. Not only was she young, she was also an innocent virgin. Naive, even though she had knowledge enough to understand where babies came from. So, she wasn't entirely naive, but notice the angel's words, not to Mary, but to Zacharias in Luke chapter 1, verse 19. Luke 1, verse 19. The angel said to Zacharias, I'm trying to get there in my head straight. The angel said to Zacharias, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. Those words by themselves are enough to make me to get my attention. I am Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God, but here he stood not before the throne, but in the midst of the temple in Jerusalem. The Almighty had sent Gabriel to earth for a specific task. Messaging was nothing new to Gabriel. I believe Gabriel is God's supernatural messenger to man. Others convey God's message to man too. For example, Old Testament prophets, New Testament apostles, preachers delivered God's message to man. The Lord Jesus Christ did so. And preachers today do the same. We deliver God's message to God's people as long as we are faithful to God's word. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there are 7 messengers listed. There, John used the same word that Luke used for angels in verse 19. But in Revelation 2 and 3, the messengers were the pastors of the 7 churches. Now, the word for angel in Luke 1 is angelo. And in the King James, it is transliterated angel. And it's a good translation. The word angel is a transliteration of the Greek word. Luke 1, in this chapter, this angel is a supernatural being sent from God to Zacharias and to Mary. So the translation is good, but who is this angel named Gabriel? I hadn't thought much about this till this past week or two, during which time I mulled over 3 points for this sermon, the angelic Christmas. My points are God and Gabriel, Zacharias and Gabriel, and Mary and Gabriel. Now, please understand, I don't put God on equal footing with Zacharias and Mary, or Gabriel for that matter. My purpose is to put these thoughts in a pattern easily understood. I don't know that I will be successful, but it helps my understanding. Anyway, who is this angel who stands in the presence of God? My first point is God and Gabriel. God and Gabriel. The angel said, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. My point, therefore, is God and Gabriel. Now, note the verse again, Luke chapter 1, verse 19. Luke 1, 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. All right, here it is. It came to pass one day as Gabriel was standing in the presence of God, that God said to Gabriel, go and say. So Gabriel stood tall, saluted, bowed to God, and obeyed the divine command. Now, the way I described what God said to Gabriel is just speculation in my part. Perhaps God only thought the thought and Gabriel came to earth to obey the thought. Perhaps the command was issued in a way that you and I don't even understand. Regardless, it happened. Now, in this point, God and Gabriel, I'm describing events in eternity, and I've been told, and I suspect it's true, that in eternity, time doesn't exist. Now, if that's so, then there would be no days in eternity, and I would not be able to say it came to pass one day. Nevertheless, the Almighty sent Gabriel, who stood in the presence of God, to earth. It was a mission God gave to Gabriel, and Gabriel obeyed. Perhaps Gabriel had joy and holy excitement as he began to obey the divine command. I know for a fact that Gabriel was interested in these things. Gabriel was interested in all the things about the season that we call the first Christmas. Perhaps with the other angels in God's presence, Gabriel was peering over the battlements of heaven. And perhaps as they were looking down, they were even pointing to events on earth. Surely they were interested in those things that were prophecy. Perhaps this very Gabriel stood there, not saying, are we there yet? But asking, is it time yet? Is it time yet? Now, I don't want to be blasphemous, but look at Peter's words in 1 Peter. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, which with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Now listen to this. Which things the angels desire to look into. Which things the angels desire to look into. Perhaps Gabriel, this one who stood in the presence of God, was looking beyond heaven's borders, even looking down across galaxies and galaxies, galaxies whose numbers are untold, and there he stood, his eyes penetrating unnumbered light years to a certain point on this old earth. I know Gabriel had a desire to look into these things, and if time is in heaven, it was time, and like a flash, a bolt out of the blue, his desire was fulfilled, and Gabriel landed on earth right there in the middle of the temple in Jerusalem. There he was, but he wasn't alone. Zacharias was there too. If Gabriel had not obeyed, what would have happened? Well, I don't know, because Gabriel obeyed and the things of Christmas got underway. It was God's plan, and it was unstoppable. Gabriel obeyed God, and here we are today celebrating the birth of the Savior in this grand year, A.D. 2016. Now, with Gabriel's obedience, I include the birth of Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Angels wanted to know when these things would be. I wonder how long they looked into these things, perhaps. We're unable to assign time to eternity, but the angels certainly wanted to know when these things would happen, and they had the desire from the beginning, from the time that the prophets prophesied these things. And Gabriel found out, as God sent him to earth, and like a flash he appeared in the temple, there was no explosion of sound. Earth didn't quake and dust didn't fly, but Gabriel appeared right there beside the altar. Nearby was Zechariah. It was enough to get the priest's attention. In fact, Zechariah was thunderstruck by the appearance of this mighty otherworldly being. And what I want you to know is that Gabriel obeyed God, and actions have consequences. Had Gabriel disobeyed, would any of us be saved? Don't get me wrong. Gabriel would have obeyed regardless, and because he did, we are saved. What about our obedience? Do we obey when we sense God's leading? Oh, I know we must understand God's will. But there are plenty of times when we already know his will. We don't have to pray about it. For example, there is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Now, you may need to ask God to help you trust him, but you don't need to ask him whether to trust him. We must trust with all our heart, not looking to our own understanding, but acknowledging him in all that we do, thereby departing from evil. Are you like Gabriel? Do you desire to obey God? Gabriel stood in the presence of God, yet Gabriel obeyed. If Gabriel was not too big to obey, what about us? Are we too big to obey? Even though we occupy church pulpits all across America, are we too big to obey God? Whether we are preachers, teachers, elders, or church members, we must obey God. The command before us is to trust, but there are other commands. For example, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. What about this? Go and teach. Here's another. Search the scriptures daily. The angels search the scriptures daily to find out about these things. Here's another. Go and tell every creature. Oh, Gabriel, as mighty and as powerful as he is, thought it not robbery to be equal to angels, but humbled himself and obeyed God even to the point of forsaking heaven's royal courts for earth's dusty roads. Know this, that Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, forsook glory to help mankind get to glory. It reminds me of Christ in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Gabriel obeyed God. Christ obeyed the Father. But what will we do? Will we obey? I say we'd better obey in any way that we can. Know this. There are consequences for obedience and consequences for disobedience. Now, I want to obey. That's why I ask you to pray that I do obey as I pray that you obey. So, we have God and Gabriel. Next is Zacharias and Gabriel. Zacharias and Gabriel. This is Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 19. Luke 1, 11 through 19. This is good stuff. Good stuff. Luke 1, 11 through 19. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, For thy prayer is heard. Thy prayer is heard. That's why Gabriel was there. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering him said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. This second point, dear people, is Zechariah and Gabriel. It wasn't only that Gabriel was sent to earth, but Gabriel was also sent to a particular spot in the temple to inform Zechariah about some things that would shortly come to pass through him and Miss Elizabeth, his wife. I believe God gave Gabriel specific orders. Not only was he to leave heaven for earth, but his orders were specific and detailed. Gabriel was to inform this faithful priest about things God would do through him. Sometimes God is like that. He gives us directions, and then he gives details about how we're to do what he says. Sometimes, but not always. Anyway, God expects our obedience as God expected Zechariah's obedience. Zechariah was to obey even though he was thunderstruck at the angel's appearance. Now, I don't fault Zechariah. I don't know what I would do if a thing like this angel were to appear next to me. Now, I do have an angel living with me, but that's a different story. Listen to me. Now, hear this. I don't know what Gabriel's visage was like when he appeared unto Zechariah, but I know one thing for sure. That visage was enough to startle Zechariah. He was shaken to the core. Any mortal being, be he ever so godly, will be thunderstruck and filled with great fear at the sight of some glorious being from another world. Zechariah was. In fact, I don't see how he was able to remain standing. But as God comforts his people whom he visits, so do his supernatural messengers comfort God's people whom they visit. For example, Gabriel alleviated Zechariah's fear with these words, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. With those words from Gabriel, Zechariah was able to remain standing. But what did Zechariah see that day? Zechariah saw this being from another world. There he stood right next to Zechariah. You could reach out and touch him. It must have been a sign. This was not just any old angel. When I think of Gabriel and Zechariah meeting in the temple, I don't see some benign being garbed in white angel wings standing alongside Zechariah. And here's why I say that. And I begin this with a question. Do you know of Gabriel's past exploits? If not, let me tell you about them. Gabriel was a busy angel in the service to God. Perhaps he remains so today. Though I don't expect him to, he could appear right here before us, right now. It would scare me. But I'd still like to see it. Now, go back to the Old Testament book of Daniel. chapters 8 through 10, Daniel. We won't read those chapters, but let me say this. I believe it was Gabriel who appeared before Daniel in all three chapters, certainly so in chapters 8 and 10, but also in chapter 8 and 9, but also in chapter 10. Daniel was a man for whom God had great love. Love so great that when Daniel began to pray, God gave the command to Gabriel to go meet Daniel. I also believe that Zacharias was a man on whom God's great love rested. Zacharias prayed, and God sent Gabriel to the temple to meet Zacharias. Now, does God do that for us? When we begin to pray, does God send our guardian angels to meet us, to protect us, to provide us? I wouldn't put it past him. We don't see angels, but perhaps God sends them anyway. Notice Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. But what was it that Zechariah saw when he saw Gabriel? It was no ordinary angel that Zechariah saw. Zechariah was one of God. Gabriel. Oh, Zechariah saw, there you go. Zechariah saw one of God's great warrior angels standing right there before him. Whether or not Gabriel had battle armor on, I don't know. But I know that Gabriel was a warrior angel. Now look at Daniel chapter 10. I believe Gabriel is the being that Daniel saw in chapter 10, although some of the wording is applied to the Lord Jesus in Revelation chapter 1. I believe this is Gabriel because of the word that he spoke to Daniel, and we'll begin reading in verse 11. Daniel chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. Daniel 10, 11 through 14. And he, that is Gabriel, said unto him, O Daniel, O a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But, listen to this, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, Michael the archangel, that is, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. Now, in this vision, Gabriel was fresh off the battlefield. It had been a struggle. For 21 days, the battle had raged. The battle was so great that Gabriel had to have help from Michael, God's archangel. And it was only after Michael came that Gabriel was allowed to attend to Daniel. Further, I believe Gabriel had full battle gear on, and what a sight he was. This is how Daniel described Gabriel's appearance in chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. Daniel chapter 10, 5 and 6. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold a person, behold a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, I read Daniel's description of Gabriel, and immediately I think of John's description of the Lord Jesus in Revelation 1. Then I continue to read, and I get the idea that this is what Gabriel looked like in battle array. Daniel saw that and fell flat on his face. Listen to the words in verse 11. Daniel 10, verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. Stop right there. He said, unto thee am I now sent. Did God send himself? No. God sent Gabriel. We'll pick up the reading. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, for unto thee am I now sent. Whoever he is the same being who had to have Michael's help against the prince of Persia. The prince of Persia perhaps was demonic or perhaps a divine, demon-inspired man. Nevertheless, Gabriel had to have the archangel's help so that Gabriel could reach Daniel with God's word. After hearing my reasoning, I hope you're no more confused than I am, I believe Gabriel was in full battle armor when Daniel saw him. Was that how he appeared to Zacharias? Maybe. Like I said, I don't believe he was some benign. I don't believe that Gabriel was some benign Casper milquetoast person with shiny gold wings on his back. This is one of God's warrior angels. And he appeared to Zechariah, and it was enough to floor Zacharias. Zacharias's vision caused him great fear. Perhaps that's why Zacharias questioned the angel, so Zacharias probably couldn't even think straight when he saw this mighty being. Consequently, Zacharias was struck dumb. His tongue was tied for 9 months. He could communicate only by writing, but when Gabriel's prophetic word came to pass, then the string of Zechariah's tongue was loosed, and he was able to speak. Now, whether or not Gabriel appeared to Zechariah garbed in battle dress, I don't know, but I know that when Zechariah saw him, Zechariah was filled with fear. Now, what would we do if Gabriel or some other being from another world were to appear before us? I imagine that vision would instill enough fear in us to cause us to change our ways. Maybe that's exactly what we need. Maybe a vision like this would cause us to draw near to God because we would then know that our God is a mighty warrior himself. When Christ comes, he will win the day. He came the first time, and he defeated Satan and ushered us into his kingdom. But when he comes again, what will he be like? Maybe King Jesus will come on a mighty steed, bringing us with him in his wake as he gallops forth to battle. Listen, when Zechariah saw Gabriel that day, he saw a mighty otherworldly being, and one of these days we will see mighty power as Christ comes forth from that same other world. I hope you and I are on the same side when he returns. We will all see him perhaps from behind in his wake, or we will all see him before us, approaching us. If you haven't come to Jesus yet, now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. God and Gabriel, Zacharias and Gabriel, and now listen to Mary and Gabriel. Now, this is the same angel that appeared to Zacharias. However, I see a difference here. Listen to the words in Luke 1:26-29. Luke chapter 1:26-29. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent unto God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Verse 29 says that Mary was troubled. Miss Mary was troubled, confused, perplexed. She had fear. And I say that because Gabriel said, Fear not, Mary. So she had fear, but her fear was unlike Zacharias's fear. Mary was confused in her mind, but she was not quaking in her boots, that is, if she had boots. I believe that angels have ability to cloak their true appearance. And perhaps that's what happened at the time of Gabriel's appearance. Mary was a young girl, 16 or 17 years old. She was a virgin, even innocent as the day is long, though she had knowledge enough to know how children came. Still, she was a young girl, perhaps a delicate little flower easily bruised with rough words and frightening appearances. So Gabriel cloaked his supernatural appearance for this one who was blessed and highly favored by God. She was a precious thing that would soon carry precious cargo. Gabriel knew this, and Gabriel was sensitive. His first words were kind words, caring words, words that I wish I would use more often than I do. Regardless, Gabriel knew that the words that Miss Mary needed to hear. Luke 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And with those words, Gabriel quenched any fear she had. His words gave assurance that God was near and that God would protect. For example, thou hast found favor with God were his words. I don't say it with complete authority. Thou hast found favor with God. But I believe this is what Noah found with God back in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, where the Bible says, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Mary was highly favored, highly graced with God. She was not graced or favored the way Rome says she was. Miss Mary was a sinner, and she remained a sinner as long as she was on earth. Because she found favor with God, she's with God right now. And when she was on earth, she became a saved sinner. In heaven now, she's no longer a sinner. Her son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has delivered her from the body of this death. She doesn't sin now. Further, she is not co-mediatrix with Christ. And prayers to Mary have no true value. Christ is all we need. He is the one true comforter between God and man. There is no co-mediator. Note Paul's words in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. For there is no God. Oh, excuse me. Whoa. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. As highly favored as she was, Miss Mary was not and never will be able to forgive sin. I don't detract from her being or from her standing in heaven, but this is what I do. I deny Rome's heretical teaching that hers was an immaculate conception, which allowed her to be preserved from original sin. Miss Mary sinned, and she admitted it. Note what she said in verses 46 and 47 of Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, if Miss Mary was preserved from original sin, she would have no need for a Savior. But she said that God was indeed her Savior. Rome gets around this little problem by teaching that she was preserved from original sin. She experienced the temporal effect of Adam's sins. Because she sinned, she's unable to forgive sin. Listen to me. Now hear this. Miss Mary was a human being who was a sinner, yet she was highly favored with God, and I'm here to say that her being highly favored with God was due to the fact that she was the physical mother of the baby Jesus. She was not the mother of God. Another one of Rome's heresies. However, she was the mother of the human baby Jesus. Christ has always been God, but he became man at his incarnation when the Spirit of God overshadowed the Virgin. He never lost his Godhood, but he gained personhood. Luke 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. No woman today has had this specific blessing. 2,100 years ago, Miss Mary did. That's how she was highly favored with God, blessed above women. But understand something right here. Our blessing with God is like hers in one aspect. Mary was saved, and so are we saved in Christ. We have been blessed. We have been highly favored with God, for we who are in the true church have God's hand of grace and blessing on us, and we want all the benefits that come with that grace in this life and in the next life. That's why we stay in the Bible. That's why we go to church. That's why we pray. We want to glorify Him. We want to draw close to the one who has blessed us with redemption. We want God's hand of grace on us. Perhaps we will never be a Daniel or Zacharias or a Mary, but that doesn't mean we don't try to be like them. Actually, we want to be like Christ. That's whom we seek to please. That's whom we seek to glorify. When we are like Christ, God's hand of blessing will be on us. This Christmas season and every season, thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born to the Virgin Mary, who was crucified, buried, and who rose again from the dead, and who lives today in heaven. Thank God for Christ. Love God because of Christ, who is the demonstration of God's love for us. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. Let's pray. Father, this day is your day. Like every day, this day is your day. You made it. You gave us the warmth, the sun, and the Son of God to shine on us, to draw us to thyself in Him. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit who regenerates and lives within us. And we thank thee, O Heavenly Father, for the fact that thou art He who loved us and demonstrated that love for us. And because of that, O God, we love thee. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.